Hey, it's Sandra and Chris.
Thanks so much for listening to Heart of the Enneagram. We hope this podcast is offering you insights as well as entry points for opening the heart.
We offer this podcast as a free resource for personal and spiritual growth. And in order to continue this work, we need your support.
So please visit our website, heartoftheenneagram.com, and click on the link to contribute.
Whatever you give will be gratefully received.
Welcome to Heart of the Enneagram. I'm Chris Copeland.
And I'm Sandra Smith.
And we invite you to take a courageous and loving look at what is.
It's a map of me. Of my inner landscape. It's a map of my internal operating system. So when I get stuck now, I know where to look inside myself to shift. So as you said, Chris, it's more about how I'm getting out of my own way.
Hey, Sandra.
Chris, hi. I'm excited about this podcast series.
Me too. Thanks for doing this. This is awesome. We get to spend this time together.
It is. Thanks for the invitation to join you in this endeavor.
Well, it's a wonderful thing we get to do together. So we are launching this podcast called Heart of the Enneagram. Say some about why we call it Heart of the Enneagram.
Yeah, Heart of the Enneagram came forward in our minds and hearts because we wanted to take this information deeper. It's just so easy for people to grasp the concept of the Enneagram and the nine types. And yet, often people stop there. It's like buying a good pair of hiking boots, finding the trail, and not taking the hike.
Absolutely. Because part of the gift of the Enneagram is learning types and then taking steps from there. And so many people stop right at the, what is my type? And then just begin to live out kind of out of those patterns and habits without really taking the next step. So that's what we're hoping to do, is really invite people onto that path, that looking a little deeper, exploring deeper.
Right. And in that process, you know, self-observation and presence are prerequisite for this journey.
Mm.
Yeah. So at its heart, I think the Enneagram has us cultivating presence in order to deepen our own self-awareness.
That's beautiful. And I would say the other piece of that is that we talk a little bit about this as we, in this first part of our podcast, we'll talk about the different nine types, and then we'll move into spiritual dimensions. Mm-hmm. And one of the important things is the presence, Enneagram brings us into presence, and then we know our type, and then we have to have practices. Mm-hmm. There got to be things that we do intentionally that help us sort of interrupt those patterns or become aware when the patterns emerge so that we can make different kinds of choices.
Well said, Chris. And often these practices are very small, practical steps.
Yes, absolutely.
And practices for one type might not work for a different Enneagram type.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll get to hear from people who are going to help us understand more about that. So Sandra, tell me about how you got interested in the Enneagram. What's some of your story about that?
Oh, it's kind of a fun story, Chris. In the summer of 91, I had finished my first year of theology school at Emory. And I was on staff at Ring Lake Ranch in Du Bois, Wyoming. And there was a sister of Loretta from Chicago walking around with a T-shirt on that said, "Hi, I'm a one." And I remember running up to Sister Agnes saying, "Oh, one must be the best. How do I get to be a one?" And she did what you did.
Yes.
She just laughed and handed me an Enneagram book. And I immediately read the whole thing and typed myself as a type 3.
Hmm.
Because I was focusing on my behavior.
Right.
I lead with type 8, not 3, but it took me a while to really understand the deeper dive of the Enneagram.
Absolutely.
How about you?
I want to say, too, that you mentioned about behavior. That's one of the things that when I teach, I always say that, you know, we can't type other people, because what we do when we watch others is we're looking at behavior.
Right.
And Enneagram's really, for me, in my understanding, it's really rooted in, or one way we can understand ourselves is by motivation. Why do we do what we do? And so that's why for me, online tests and things that sort of only are observational are not really helpful.
Right.
So if we can get to these questions of why do I do what I do?
And those online tests really short circuit our own self-exploration.
Yep. They do, because they you answer questions and then out pops a response. And then I think people begin to read their lives through the lens of whatever that test told them that they were.
And then use an Enneagram type as an excuse for behavior.
Exactly.
Which is a big no-no, really.
It is. Because we want the Enneagram to be a source of liberation, a source of freedom.
Right.
Not to sort of build up or shore up the type structure.
Right.
Type patterns.
Yeah. So, you know, in our learning of the system, we realize that more than likely, we're born with a particular Enneagram style.
Mm-hmm.
So I know our mentor and friend David Daniels has looked at temperament and type and found the nine temperaments pair up really well with the nine types. And neuroscience tells us we're born with a particular filter.
Sure.
So it's basically kind of how we come into the world, how we're wired, how we see mom and dad, why siblings don't see parents the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some preferences. But please keep in mind, I mean, I want to use it to predict what someone's going to do,
right,
or what I'm going to do, but we can't. It's only preferences. So tell us how you came to the Enneagram.
Sure. So in a similar time frame, it was probably 1994 is my guess, 93, okay. 94. When I was a student at Emory, Candler School of Theology, a professor there did a workshop and I was invited to come by a friend. And I sat through this workshop and I was really intrigued and I was captured, particularly as he began describing type four, which is what I now understand myself to lead with type four, and be thinking someone outside of my experience could articulate so clearly some of my thinking, my feeling, the way I kind of view the world. It was a little spooky and it was pretty amazing. And so I went straight from there, that workshop, and began reading books and gathering whatever I could about it and have been reading ever since then. And, you know, you and I, part of my step was becoming a certified teacher in the narrative tradition, which I know that's part of your journey as well.
Right. And it was my first experience doing an Enneagram intensive with Helen and David, Helen Palmer and David Daniels, that I actually first sat on the Type 3 panel and sort of fit in. Mm-hmm. We had the same energy. We had all been pulled for speeding, right? But it wasn't until the next day when the 8 panel got up, and I could not believe that people were up there talking about my inside thoughts and feelings like you. I just couldn't contain my energy. I got up and just had to pace the back of the room. I was so stunned.
Yes, and I think energetically it won't surprise you that when I heard the 4 panel or another panel, I was just deeply moved, right?
Right.
A single tear came down my cheek. No,
it's quite precious.
Yeah, right. I joke a little bit, but it is true that being sort of known in that way, in a way broke some parts open for me. Mm. It made me realize that I'm not stuck in this way of being or this way of living, that I do have choice. And one of the things I love about the Enneagram and often teach is that, and people get a little nervous when we, you know, don't type me, they'll say, or don't put me in that box. Mm-hmm. And what I say is we're already in a box, right? And what the Enneagram helps us do is recognize that box so that we're not stuck in those habits and patterns and we can actually get out of it.
And from that place, it's, I think, important to understand that the Enneagram is not a typing system. It really isn't.
Say more about that.
So people think there are 9 types. Enne is Greek for 9. Oh, don't, as you said, don't put a type on me. Don't put me in a box. But in fact, it's more like it's a map of me, of my inner landscape. It's a map of my internal operating system. So when I get stuck now, I know where to look inside myself to shift.
Right.
So as you said, Chris, it's more about how I'm getting out of my own way. And it's been so helpful. So
because every one of the 9 types or styles, we contribute, we get in our own way, right? We do things mm-hmm. that don't get us what we really want, ultimately.
Right.
And kind of becoming aware of how we contribute to that is a pretty humbling and also invitational thing.
And it's quite a growing experience, because these preferences have strong neural pathways in us. Mm-hmm. And so to change means creating these new pathways, which means, and I can hear Helen Palmer saying this, go counter instinctive.
Right.
You know?
Right. So we're rewiring the brain as part of what we're doing as we not just learn about the Enneagram, but then do these practices and make different choices in the midst. We're rewiring.
That's what the Enneagram is about.
Yep.
It's about finding my way internally, finding a space to watch myself, get some distance from my thoughts, feelings, and actions, so I come to responsible choice.
Absolutely.
Do I choose the same path? Can I go a different way? Hmm. It's a powerful moment, this space catching.
It is. It is. And it's why we're doing this podcast, is because I think there are many folks out there who talk about it, which is great. And I think talk about it often on a fairly surface level and don't get to what you're talking about. And I think that we're wanting to go deeper.
Yes.
So tell me, Sandra, I know that you use the Enneagram. Both of us have been exposed for now over 25, almost 30 years,
right,
perhaps, about the Enneagram. And I know that you use it in your work. Talk about what you do with the Enneagram now, what your work is.
Right. So I certified in 2001, and I've been teaching since then. And my teaching has expanded to, you know, public workshops or type groups, to using it with spiritual direction or leadership honing. And as we know, the Enneagram has become quite popular in corporate settings and organizational life.
Right.
So there are a number of organizations and hospital systems that I've worked with. You know, leaders and managers like to deepen their self-awareness because they can better understand their impact on other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they know the Enneagram styles of the people they manage, they can better incentivize or motivate their folks.
Right, absolutely.
And misunderstandings cease. And the more deeply we understand each other, it elevates trust.
Mm.
And that's foundational for high-performing teams and individuals.
Absolutely. And the Enneagram is such a gift in corporate culture, business culture, in churches, in nonprofits,
right,
for individuals. I mean, it is an amazing tool in that way.
So share with us what you do with the Enneagram and how you use
it. Sure. Yeah,
teaching.
I certified in the same organization, the Narrative Enneagram.
Right.
And I certified in 2014.
Okay.
I've been, after that and even a little before that, was teaching the Enneagram primarily at Wake Forest University School of Divinity, where
yes,
I'm on the faculty. And my favorite class to teach, and I think one of my students' favorite to take, is we call the Spirituality of the Enneagram. And we do, one of the ways we teach is the panel method, and that's in the narrative tradition, which I really love, is we gather a group to sit on a panel in front of the rest of the class. And typically we do this by type, so you might have three or four people who identify as type seven or type nine or whatever, and asking questions, have them begin to tell some of their story. And I found true for me, and I heard you say some of this too, Sandra, that hearing other people articulate, tell some stories about how they live in these tight patterns, it softens my heart.
Oh,
it makes me come to a place of compassion. I'll never forget hearing a group of ones talk about how hard it was to live in this constant critical mind. But I felt this sense of compassion that I would not have gotten, I think, just by someone teaching it from a podium, but because I heard people's stories in this narrative way,
yes,
it was transformative.
And that's our hope with this podcast, that people will share some stories to help us better understand the depth of humanity, if you will, so that we're less judgmental and more compassionate. But certainly for ourselves, to find that entry point into compassion for self.
Yes.
So we can, as one of our friends say, can you hold yourself in your own heart?
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful. I often talk about how the Enneagram helps us cultivate compassion for self and for others. That's one of the gifts. And that's certainly been my experience. And as I've taught it.
Right. I remember in many an Enneagram intensive, David Daniels talking about the golden rule. And he says, you know, the golden rule has it wrong. It's do unto others as they would have you do unto them.
Mm.
Otherwise, it's a projection. And this is the place that the Enneagram has been so meaningful to me, that unless I really know who I am and where I'm coming from, I think you're me.
Right.
I'll project what I think and feel onto you.
Right.
But to know that you lead with type 4 and I lead with type 8 tells me we have some things in common.
Yep.
We can be intense and
super
hold that
intense
space,
right?
Yes. But then we have some differences.
Right.
And as we go through these episodes, it's so important to remember that we humans are more alike than different.
Absolutely.
But to understand the nuance can help us offer more compassion.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to hear from 9 different people in this first part of our podcast series, where we'll be looking at exemplars, at people who will be demonstrating for us through their own story and experiences each of these 9 styles around the Enneagram. And it may be, you said a little bit about this, but you know, the Enneagram, the word itself means it's a 9-pointed figure. And,
mm-hmm.
and so it is 9 points around a circle, and they're 9 numbers. And you'll hear... We'll talk about the Enneagram numbers mostly, not using names, but
right.
more numbers.
And no style, no Enneagram style is better or worse than others.
Exactly.
So we're all on a level playing field here.
The way I say it is every type has gifts, and mm-hmm. every type has challenges or shadow.
Right.
And there's no judgment about that. It
right.
just is what it is.
And we have a little bit of all 9 types within us.
That's right.
So as we go through and listen to each of these exemplars, they will touch a piece of us because we too carry that.
Yep.
I'm not a 1, but I know the inner critic, as do you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It makes me think as you say that, Sandra, that if we have listeners who don't know much about the Enneagram or don't know their type, you know, we said that the online tests and things are not the best way to identify. What do you recommend to folks who are interested in learning more about the Enneagram so that this may be more meaningful as they listen?
There's several books that are great.
We have a favorite.
We do. Of course, our mentors and teachers,
yes.
friends, Helen Palmer and David Daniels, their books are great.
David's book, The Essential Enneagram, has a wonderful piece at the beginning that helps you begin to learn more about what type you might identify most with. And I think that's a really helpful tool.
Yes.
And I love Helen Palmer's book, The Enneagram, which is what I use in my teaching quite a bit.
Right. And to read each of those chapters and simply observe where the 4 is in you, or mm-hmm. the 5 or the 6.
Exactly.
Right. And one chapter that you read will feel like someone wrote a book about you. At least that was my experience.
How did they know?
How did they know? And then I remember discovering that I was an 8. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one who feels and
exactly.
thinks this way. I'm not alone.
Exactly. I had the same experience, which of course, for a 4, you know, I have this sense of isolation, or I'm different or unique. And it actually was quite comforting to realize, oh, I'm not the only one who thinks or feels or experiences life this way.
Yeah.
So speaking of books, we have a book that we want to share with our listeners.
Yes, its title is Heart of the Enneagram, A Companion for Deepening Personal and Spiritual Growth.
And in the book, we have quotes and prayers that we will share as a part of this podcast series, as well as the questions that we ask each of our guests. And this is for people to be able to listen along the podcast and engage the question themselves.
Right. And you can also use the book without engaging the podcast, but we hope you'll do both, because the book does ask some great questions to help us deepen our own self-awareness.
Absolutely. And we can get the book at Amazon.com. So if you go to Amazon.com and look for Heart of the Enneagram, you'll find it there. Probably the best place to find it is on our website, heartoftheenneagram.com. And there'll be a link to purchase our book, and we'll also have them available when we do workshops and teachings, and folks can get them from us.
So we invite you to continue your journey with us. The next episode will be about the three centers of intelligence.
Yep. So each of the, just to say word about that, of the nine types, they're broken into triads, what we call heart types, head types, and body types, or centers of intelligence.
Right.
And we're going to explore that more deeply next time. And then after that, we're going to hear from nine different diverse people, life experiences, and in the, for each of the types.
Thank you, Chris, for the companionship as we explore this.
Well, I'm excited about this adventure. I'm grateful to have you as a companion and a colleague in it. And
yes.
I look forward to the fun and also the profound things that we'll learn together.
Here we go. Thank you.
So with heartfelt gratitude, I'm Chris.
And I'm Sandra. And we invite you to continue to look courageously and lovingly at what is.
We want to thank all who've made this podcast a reality, including Wake Forest University School of Divinity, for their financial and institutional support. For Sally Ann Morris, who composed our theme music, and for Toby Becker, who provided graphic design.
Thanks to Eric Merle for his editing expertise, to Tom and Lynn Berner, who provided recording space, and to the Narrative Enneagram and our mentors, Helen Palmer and Dr. David Daniels, its founders. And special thanks to all of our guests.
We offer this podcast as a free resource for personal and spiritual growth. And in order to continue this work, we need your support. Please visit our website, heartoftheenneagram.com, to make a contribution and to purchase our companion book.
In the days that lie ahead, may your mind be curious, your heart courageous, and your presence compassionate.